because you pick your Bible up and immediately something hits you straight in your heart and you think, oh yes, you're talking to me. And the scripture that came on that morning to me was Isaiah chapter 30, and this is from the Message, and it's from verse 15 through to, I think it's probably 15 and 16. You can never be sure with the Message because the numbers are not there. But it's a really, it was a challenge to me. And it says here, your salvation requires you to turn back to me and stop your silly efforts to save yourself. Your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me. Well, God, I think you need a little bit of help sometimes. Sometimes I think you're a bit late. Sometimes I wonder if you're going to turn up. And I need to get involved. And I'm not a person who can necessarily sit back. I find it difficult. And this is something else God is challenging me with. Take your hands off it, Grace, and leave it to me. And for you who perhaps are into a bit of the control freak, that's not always easy. I like to be in control. I like to plan the week, plan the day. Andrew will get up and I'll say to him, what's the plot for today then? Oh, I don't know. Let's just go. Okay, Andrew, let's do it. So, it is exciting. God puts you together as a couple very well. His strengths and my weaknesses, God has made a good combination there, an opposite too. So it was a challenge to me, and I'm thinking, God, do I completely depend on you, or am I being silly and trying to sort things out and give you a hand? And I thought, do I always have an alternative plan? What if God doesn't come through, what am I going to do? And then I often think to myself, well, Grace, are you afraid or are you really confident? And inside I'm thinking, I'm terrified. I don't like this. I don't like this journey we're going on. It spooks me. And then I realised I'm not as confident and as settled in God as he wants me to be. And so I was thinking about Abraham. And Abraham is called the father of faith. And I think, some man of God he is, and he was. But he wasn't without his mistakes. And he didn't always get it right, yet the Bible calls him the father of faith. And when God promised him Isaac, a son, and Sarah was barren, and she was, Abraham was 75 when God said to him, you'll have a son out of your own loins with Sarah, your wife. And Abraham found that a challenge, and he decided to do some silly things. And he decided to, what this passage tells us not to do, stop your silly efforts to save yourself. He tried to give God a hand, and we all know what happened there. And it took 25 years before the promise was fulfilled. But it says in the Message Bible in Romans 4 that eventually Abraham plunged into the promise and came up strong. Eventually, he got the message. God's going to do it his way, his time. Trust me. I don't need your help. I can do it all on my own. I'm big enough. I'm God, for goodness sake. Let go. Fall back. Relax. I'm in control. And then I thought about David, and God said of David, he's a man after God's own heart. Well, God, he messed up too. He certainly did, big style. But I was looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17. But if you go to chapter 16, it's where Samuel, the prophet, anointed David to be king. And I think this is beautiful because, again, it's from the Message. And it says here that when Samuel anointed David to be king, God said to him, "This is the man, you anoint him, he's my choice of king. He's the next king." All his brothers had appeared before Samuel, and Samuel was looking at their outward appearance and thinking, "Oh, this is a good man, he's tall, he's good looking, he fits the bill, he's a leader." And God said, "No, no." And he went through all his brothers, probably about 7 of them, before David came. And David was the runt of the crop. He was very, very small, but he was God's man. God was not looking as man looks. And this is what it says in the Message when Samuel anointed him to be king. He said, "Samuel took his flask of oil and anointed David, with his brothers standing around watching. At that moment, the Spirit of God entered David like a rush of wind." Does that remind you of anything? When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, there was a rushing, mighty wind, and it sat upon each of them. And it said that this rushing, mighty wind came on David, and God vitally empowered him for the rest of his life. He was anointed at that point powerfully with the Holy Spirit, and God entered him by the power of the Spirit of God for the rest of his life. And then I think to myself, so why did he mess up? And it's a miracle, because we get off on our own track sometimes, and David was nonetheless a man than we are, and he did get it wrong. But the redeeming fact about David, he was a man after God's own heart. He did not like to hurt God. He loved God passionately, and he did not like to hurt him. And the minute he knew that he'd crossed the line, he was quick to repent. And because of that, the anointing remained with him, and he became, I think, Israel's most powerful king. So God's not looking at us or expecting us to always get it right. We will get there eventually. But you know, when God speaks into our heart and says, "Come on, Grace, it's time we need to deal with this. We need to improve in this area. And you're not going to do it by your own efforts, but I want permission to do it. I want you to be willing to totally abandon yourself to me." And so I went on to chapter 17, and it was the story of when David was faced with Goliath. And I think this always it defines David. Everybody knows the story of David and Goliath, and it just speaks of the heart of David. And in chapter 17, David was going to face Goliath. Goliath was the champion of the enemy of Israel. He was the Philistines' champion, and he was almost 10 foot tall. Quite an intimidating character, 10 foot tall. His armour weighed 9 stone. I don't know who here is about 9 stone. Okay. That was the weight of his armour. And at 10 foot tall, he was no lightweight either. And he had a sword and he had a spear. And in the natural, he was impossible to defeat. But don't ever say something is impossible, because nothing is impossible with God. And you can set your biggest champion up, but don't do it, because he will fall to the living God. God's champion was David. He was a mere youth, the Bible tells us. And the message said he was apple-cheeked, rosy-cheeked. And I love this, he had a peach-fuzzed face. He was too young to grow a proper beard, he just had fuzz on his face. What a youth, eh? And he was very short, I think he was probably maybe my height. And he had all big, tall, good-looking brothers. He was very good-looking, very healthily-looking, but he was very small. But he was God's man, and inside, he wasn't small inside. He was a winner. He was a big, big man of faith on the inside. He knew God, and he trusted God. His weapons were not sword and spear and armour. His weapons were a sling and 5 stones. Just simple weapons. Every day Goliath would come out into the valley. The Philistines were on that side, the Israelites were on that side. Goliath would come marching out into the valley, and every day he would shout, "Pick your best fighter to try and defeat me." He knew that they had no match for him in the natural. On one particular occasion, David had been sent by his father to take some food for his brothers. They were at war against the Philistines, and he happened to be there that day, and he saw Goliath come out, and he heard him shout his challenge, and all Israel was terrified except David. And David's attitude was, and who does he think he is? He's taunting the Lord of hosts. I'm not having that. He's taunting my God. No, no, no. I will defend God. I will go out and I'll meet him, and by the power of God, I'll kill him. He had a completely different spirit. David was a covenant man. He knew he had a covenant with God. And there's a covenant in Deuteronomy 11, verses 25. God promised the children of Israel that no man would be able to stand before them all the days of their life. And David said, well, this is a man, and he stood before me, and he's resisting us, and he's challenging my God. Well, I have a covenant with God, and God's going to use me to put you down, and that's going to be the end of you. And so David went for it. And there was a few things I noticed here. That one, he was totally confident in God. There was no hesitation. He wasn't double-minded. He wasn't thinking, well, will God come through for me? Or will I be defeated? He wasn't thinking that at all. He knew he was confident in God. And the Bible says in James 1, a man who is double-minded is unstable in all his ways. And that's perfectly true. When you're hopping from one foot to the other and you're all undecided, then you're not really confident in what you're going to do. So he was totally confident in God. His brothers criticized him and said to him, you're just here to make trouble. Go home. We don't need you here. And they were critical of him. But David wasn't put off by that. He wasn't going to listen to it. He wasn't going to take any notice of the criticism. He was so incensed at this giant who had challenged God. Eventually, David was sent to Saul, and Saul said to him, well, with nobody else who was going to volunteer, he tried to put him off initially, and he wouldn't be put off, so Saul said to him, okay, I'll let you go, but you need to wear my armour to protect you. And David said, I don't need your armour. He said, because God will deliver me. And I love his attitude, because it was, there's no compromise. I'm not making a plan B. I'm going out there. He said, I faced the lion and I faced the bear, and I killed them by the power of God. And this uncircumcised Philistine is no different. And I'm going to kill him in the same way that I killed the lion and the bear. Not because I'm going to do it, but my God is going to do it through me. And I'm here. I'm available. I'm saying, God, use me. I trust you. I'm going to run to this battle. And the other thing about David, he encouraged himself by recalling his past victories, the lion and the bear. And I just want to read from on chapter 17, again in the Message, from verse 34 to 37. And David said, I've been a shepherd, tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, a lion and a bear, I'd grab it by the throat. I'd wring its neck and I'd kill it. Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. And I'll do the same to this Philistine, who's taunting the troops of the living God. God who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear will deliver me from this Philistine. He was totally convinced, and he was going to do it. He was God's man. He wasn't intimidated. He ran to the battle. He didn't listen to Goliath's ridicule. I mean, Goliath was incensed. Who do you think I am that you sent this squirt to challenge me? You're insulting me. But God wanted to show him that he was not as big as he thought he was. And it didn't take anybody in the natural. It just took a man to be filled with the power of God and ready and available. And David didn't think about himself. He didn't even consider that he wouldn't escape, that he would be killed. He knew that he was going to win on this. And in verses 45 to 47, when David went to approach Goliath, he said to Goliath, you come at me with sword and spear. I come at you in the name of the God, of the angel armies, the God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and you mock. This very day God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you, cut off your head and serve up your body and the bodies of your Philistine buddies to the crows and coyotes. The whole earth will know that there's an extraordinary God in Israel. And everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to God, and he's handing it to us on a plate. Your battle, my battles, whatever the devil comes at us with, however tall he towers above us, he is not fighting you, he's fighting God. And if we will just get out of the way and hand over to God, he will deal with him, and he'll send him reeling and reeling and reeling and reeling. But if we do silly things and meddle, then we might get hurt in the process, and that's not what God wants. As we know, God was with David, and he put what, as he ran towards Goliath, he put one stone in his sling, and that did the job. And it hit Saul right in the forehead, where he had no armour protection. sorry, it hit Goliath in the head, where he had no armour protection, and that killed him. And then David ran and cut off his head with Goliath's own sword. So exactly what David spoke was the thing that happened, and God was with him. And that day the Philistine army were put to flight. The enemy was defeated because the living God was in David. And I just loved the Spirit of God in that man. Yesterday I was reading Word for Today, and for those of you who read it, you'll probably know this story, but he was talking about facing challenges head on. And he said that there was five ships in the West Indies that were in the harbour when a monster storm came rolling in. And there was a British captain of one of those ships, and he decided he was not going to stay in that harbour. And so he pulled up anchor and he got his crew and he said, "We're going to ride out on those waves to meet that storm." And that's exactly what he did. 2 days later, his ship came back into the harbour, and it was somewhat battered, but it hadn't broken up. It was still intact and it was still seaworthy. He had a few beatings with the waves as he'd been out there. But when he got back to the harbour, he discovered that the other four ships in the harbour that hadn't sailed because they were afraid of the storm had been swept onto land and smashed completely. And is not that a lesson? We don't need to hide from the devil. God is saying to you, when he puts his head up, "I'm with you. Don't be afraid of him. I'm bigger than anything the devil can ever throw at you. And I'm in you." The word of God says, "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world." And there's nothing bigger than God. I don't care what attacks you, there's nothing bigger than God. And if you will stand your ground and run to the battle and hit it with the word of God, then your enemy is defeated. He will die, and that will be the last you see of him. Oh yes, there'll be something else. There's always something else. There's always storms rolling in. But we need to know that we have all that it takes because we have God Almighty inside of us. And he's saying, don't cowtail to the devil. When he pops his head up, get to the word of God and hit him with that word, and he will be instantly defeated. And I was thinking, there's a lot going on in our nation at the minute. And I believe for England there's a monster storm rolling in, and it's called Europe. And I believe God is calling his people not to do physical battle, but to do spiritual battle in the heavenly realms. Andrew showed me something that, I don't know if it came on Facebook or whatever, but it was talking about one of the peers of the realm wrote to the then time Prime Minister when we went into Europe, and he wrote to him and he said that England should not go into Europe because England is a sovereign state and the highest authority in the realm for England is the Queen and her courts. And yet, we were considering going into Europe and allowing a higher authority to come over. Sorry? A lower authority to come over us. But they were going to have the ultimate say over this land. And because the European courts, I believe, are above our courts. And so he said that that was treason, because it was written in our constitution that there could be no other authority higher than the Queen, the sovereign of the realm. But they still went ahead. And today I thank Patience for delivering that word from the Lord, because God has placed us here in intake, miraculously placed us here in intake, and yet it's a hard place and progress seems slow. But I believe that God is wanting us to take our authority and deal with the spiritual powers, the principalities and powers that are trying to resist us in the heavenly realms. And I believe that God is calling us as a church together to pray. And we don't need to, you don't need to go out with banners or anything else. Spiritual warfare is the answer to both situations. And God is calling us, he doesn't always call you to take physical action, but he is calling us to take spiritual action, at this time. There's a saying, and it says that all that it takes for evil to advance is for good people to do nothing. We can't sit back and do nothing. We don't have a choice. Because if we don't run and stand against this storm, and we have all the power and all the authority to overcome anything the devil throws at this nation, as we have individually or nationally or in whatever situation, God is saying the greater one is in you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. Wow, that really, really puts it where it needs to be for me. There's nothing higher than the Spirit of God, and he's in me. And he's saying, Grace, come on, let's run to this battle. Let's do some spiritual warfare. Let's empower God. Let's pull down the principalities and powers that are trying to defeat our nation, that are trying to stop us from advancing in this area. They won't succeed, because God has promised God will fill this place, because he's faithful. But sometimes he's calling the church to pray. And I believe this is one of those times. We can't sit back and watch things happen. God's saying, no, it requires you to be proactive. I want you to work with me. We had a poster at work, and it says, the task ahead of you is never greater than the power that's within you. It's true. The task ahead is not greater than the power that lies within you. So if we'll stand together, God will give us the victory, most definitely. And we have prayer meeting on Wednesday. We start at 7. If you can't make it to 7, then come, we'll be here till 8:30, maybe 9:00 sometimes. If you can only come for half an hour, that's good. Because in that half an hour, you can bring down principalities and powers. We need together to work as a united army, because that's what God's called us to do. And I would really say to the Nepalese folks, you know, put aside culture. You're in this nation as we are. And what affects you affects us, affects you. And we all need to stand together as a family and pray. And if you can't pray in English, God understands Nepalese or whatever language you speak. And he's saying to us, I've put you here in intake. I've put you here in intake. And now you're one body. You get together and you pray. And we pull down every principality and power that would try and stop the work of God advancing, both nationally and locally. And so I would encourage all of you, we'll be praying in the main church. So come. You can easily come and go. Nobody's going to say anything. We just want you to join with us and to pray that we shall see the kingdom of God come and the will of God done in our nation and in this area. God rules. And he said, I rule in you, and I want you to rule over principalities and powers for his praise and his glory. Amen.